Heavenly Father, we come to you today and want to worship you. We want to put you first in our lives. Nothing is more important today than hearing from you today. Nothing is more important today than praising you. Nothing is more important today than to tell you how much we love you today. Father, we ask that you would honor this day and the praises that we give to you today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to pick up where we left off last week. Last week was Easter. And it was the story how Mary had gone to the tomb and had gone to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away. She believed that Jesus had been stolen. Remember, we talked about it last week. And she runs to the disciples. The disciples run and see for themselves. They return back to their house, upset, scared, and more afraid than they were before. And as Jesus is standing at the tomb, there's Jesus behind her. And Jesus calls her by name. And when he called her by name, he recognized her. I mean, she recognized him. And immediately knew it was Jesus. This is where we're going to pick up, starting in verse 19. It says, on that evening of that day, this is Sunday night, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so am I sending you." And when they had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas was one of the 12, called the twin, who was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Isn't that the same thing Mary told the disciples? She saw the Lord, said, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." The disciples, even after Mary had told them that she had seen Jesus, they were still doubting. They were still having a problem, so much so, isn't it strange that when Mary came to the disciples and told them that Jesus had been stolen, they ran to see him. But when Mary came to the disciples and told them Jesus was alive, they didn't know what to do. They stayed right there where they were. They didn't run to see Jesus. Wouldn't that be the thing you would want to do if Mary came and said, "I just seen Jesus"? Well, let's go see him.
Amen.
You know, that's what they were still so afraid, so caught up in this that they were huddling in this room. And the doors are locked, and all of a sudden Jesus just appears to them.
Amen.
And he said, "Peace be unto you." And he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples began to believe at this time. They didn't fully understand yet. But this is where the believing began, all but one.
Thomas
wasn't there. Thomas was probably hiding somewhere by himself. He didn't want to be caught with all the others. So he was hiding by himself. The disciples go to him, as it says in the scripture, and they say, "Thomas, we have seen Jesus. We have seen him." Thomas said, "Bull. No. I'm not." He would do the same kind of reaction probably that we would have done. You're going to have to show that to me. You're telling me Jesus is alive again. I got to see it with my own eyes. Well, the following week, they're in this room together, still locked up, doors still locked. They're still not sure what they're going to do. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus comes to him into the disciples through the locked doors and walks over to Thomas and says, "Here I am. You want to see me? Here I am. Here's my hands. Look, Thomas, look. Put your hands in there. Put your hands in my side." When Thomas did that, he was a believer. But Jesus said to him, and this is an important, and this is what this message is about. He's saying, "Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Listen, I think it's unfair that Thomas is always known as Doubting Thomas. I don't think he was any more doubting than the other disciples.
No.
I don't think he's any more doubting than we are many times. And to be really honest with you, I wonder, and I sometimes ask this question, how come Thomas was able to get that proof that he asked for,
right,
when many of us have been asking and asking and asking for some kind of proof that we haven't seen anything yet? Why doesn't Jesus come now? Why doesn't he walk among us now? Why he came back then, why not now?
It's not his time.
Listen, I know people who have walked away from their faith because something terrible has happened. Something they don't understand. And they have said to me, "What kind of God is it that has the ability to show up and help people, but he chooses not to do so? He could do it, he just chooses not to do it." I mean, if Jesus could show up then, He could show up now.
Amen.
I've heard a lot of answers to this question. I've heard some people say that the reason Jesus doesn't show up now is because it's a test of our faith. You know, I find it hard to believe the God that I know, the God that I love, the God that I believe in, allows us to go through so much pain and suffering just to call it a test. It's been said that Jesus appeared to the disciples to prove the resurrection to them and then told them to go and share that with the rest of the world. And I get that. But it would still be really nice, really helpful for a lot of us if he would just show us one little piece of evidence, like he showed Thomas. If he would just show up just once. I've been told that the reason Jesus doesn't come is just a matter of our faith, and we don't have a right to ask questions about God, because when we start asking questions about God, we start doubting God. Man, I'm not one of those people, because I truly have a lot of questions that I want to ask God. And I see that's not an indication of my lack of faith, because I want to ask these questions. I read all the way through the Bible where people were always asking Jesus questions. Now, he didn't always give them the answer that they wanted, but he never criticized them for asking the question. I think there's another possibility that none of these have mentioned that may explain why Jesus doesn't come back here today like he did with Thomas. Let me throw this out to you. Could it possibly be that God knows better for us, that it would be harder for us if he did that? That sounds crazy. That it would be harder for us to accept things if Jesus... Let me give you some examples. Imagine this right here. That while we're having church here, Jesus comes and stands right here in the midst of us. And Jesus says in that deep, booming voice, he says, "Everything I've told you is true." How excited we would be, you know. What an awesome experience to sit here and stand here in front of Jesus with him saying, like he said to Thomas, "Here's my hands, here's my side." What an amazing time that would be.
Amen.
All of our deepest questions now have all been answered. Then all of a sudden it's going to sink in that, well, what do we do now? There's no more room for doubt anymore. There's no more room for those theological discussions about good and evil and right and wrong. All those have been answered now. Mm-hmm. The only thing for us left to do now is we're either going to obey or we're not going to obey. With Jesus appearing here, he's saying, all those commandments I gave you, I want you to do. Now remember, Jesus said the greatest commandment is that we love one another. And he's talking about the kind of love that you give away coats and shoes and food, the kind of love that you sit down and eat dinner at a table with a person that you don't really can't even stand to be around.
Amen.
That's your new commandment that you have to keep.
Amen.
Now you're going to have that kind of love for somebody that Jesus died for. We're either going to obey that commandment or we won't. You sure you want that clarity in your life? What about your faith? Now we have the proof that we have always asked for. Now we have to make this cold and rational decision to either obey or not to obey. And this choice is going to be based on not anything that's inside of us, but on this logical reality that if we do not obey, we are wrong. The decision that we make to obey is not something we felt. It's not something based on who we really are or what's inside of us. It's just a simple act of obedience. We may not really feel like loving each other. I had a hard time loving this guy a while ago with his cursing and screaming. It's hard sometimes to love people like that. If there's no doubt about it, then you don't have a choice. You just obey.
Amen.
But it's just an act of obedience. It's not a choice that you make.
That's right.
We have to do what the right thing is to do, even if we don't believe or feel like loving other people.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you this, and I want you to be sure to hear this. But the greatest gift of being asked to live by faith is that we have the freedom of choice.
Amen.
That is something God considered a greater treasure than having the treasure of proof. What? This treasure of choice. God thinks it's more important for you to choose than to have proof. Let me show you. When God created Adam and Eve, what did he do? He gave them a choice. Even though they could make the wrong choice and it had terrible consequences, God gave them a choice. Abraham was given choices. Jacob, Moses, David, every other leader that we talk about in the scripture, they all had a choice. Even Jesus had a choice. When he was in the garden, he was crying out to God, saying, to take this cup from me. But the choice he made was, not my will, but your will be done.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm telling you, the fact you have a choice is a blessing. The scripture I just read to you says, blessed are those who believe but have not seen. Blessed are the people who choose to believe.
That's right.
Blessed are the people who don't need proof.
Amen.
Blessed are the people who believe because of their faith.
Amen. That's right.
There are so many people that are afraid of choice, especially when it comes to their personal lives and their religious beliefs. The reason so many cults start is because there are those who fear these choices, and they say questioning is wrong, thinking is wrong, allowing choices are wrong. What they're offering is not a life of faith, but a life of blind obedience. Just do what I tell you to do.
Right.
They're demanding obedience to something that Jesus gave his life for. Listen, without human choice, without the uncertain certainty of our faith, we simply obey and do what we're told to do, whether we mean it or not. It's empty. It has nothing to do with love or trust. When you stand in the middle of a horrible situation, when you stand there with everything happening around you and you look at your circumstances and you see nothing but trouble and dismay. When we stand there and we look at Jesus and we say to him, I understand what my circumstances is, but I choose to believe in you.
Amen.
I choose to believe in you. Yeah. Not because I have to. Because I choose to do that.
Amen.
When you do that, you are blessed.
Amen.
The wonderful thing about choice is that when we make it, it's because it's based on what's inside of us, what's in our heart, what's in our mind.
Amen. That's right.
It's a true act that reflects what we really believe. It's not something we do because we have to. It's an act of intentional love. And you know what? When we have that choice, when we have that intentional love that I'm talking about for Christ, when we choose Christ, regardless of our circumstances, we won't question it, we won't doubt it, because it doesn't require to have proof. It doesn't need proof. It's what we believe in here. It's who we are. We do things not because we have to, but because we believe that's the right choice to do. Listen, ask your questions. Voice your doubts. And then choose to believe him in spite of it all.
Amen.
The scripture said, blessed are those. Blessed are those who believe but have not seen. That's the way we serve our God.
Amen.
That's the way we carry out our lives. Not because we have to. Not because we just think it's the right thing to do. We believe it. We choose it.
That's Amen. Right. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we see so much turmoil and strife around us, so much sickness, so much heartache from all sides of us, Father. Father, we as your children, we're not standing here asking you to prove it to us, Father. We're standing here today saying, Father, regardless of the circumstance, I choose you.
Yes, Lord.
I believe you.
Yes.
You don't have to prove it to me.
Nope.
You proved it to me when you died on the cross for me. You prove it to me every day when you wake me up. Father, you see, we see miracles every day. We see it in our life. But sometimes we just seem to want more. It's not about the proof. It's about what we believe and what we choose to do. Father, I pray that we will be people making better choices. And we will believe no matter what the circumstances. Father, there's somebody here today that has not made that choice. Person here today that doesn't feel like God is being fair with them and treating them fairly, and they're demanding that you provide something for them, Father. I pray today that they will understand the lesson on grace and mercy we just heard. Father, your mercy is what forgives them. Your grace, Father, is what allows us to believe in you. Father, I just pray that if there are people here today that need to have their spirit renewed, they need to maybe stand up and say, Father, there have been things that I've doubted in, and there's things that I haven't done. And Father, I've made bad choices, but I want to come to you today and confess to you that is sin. And I want to choose you today. And I want to believe your commandments, not because you proved it to me, but because I choose to today.
Mm-hmm.
Father, when you have a heart that needs to be mended, a spirit that needs to be fixed, where else can we go but to you? Father, we come to you today. In Jesus' name I pray.